You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. I am Trevin Dunn with the Asheville FM News Hour, and I'm here with City Council candidate Vijay Kapoor.
Hey, Trevin. My name is Vijay Kapoor. I am a City Council candidate. I live down in South Asheville. I'm a former attorney. I do economic analysis for cities. I grew up here in Asheville, moved back here about 3 years ago. I have a almost 4-year-old and almost 7-year-old who will be excited once the voting is all said and done. Again, live down here in South Asheville and really happy to be here, Trevin. Thanks for the opportunity.
What are your thoughts on maintaining a balance between Asheville's developing tourism industry and meeting the needs and interests of Asheville citizens to keep Asheville livable?
Well, and that's really a great question. I think that has become really the heart of this city council campaign and what I've been hearing from folks all across the city, regardless of where they live. As I mentioned before, I grew up here in Asheville, and I lived here in the mid-80s when downtown was really a ghost town. And I think that it's important to realize is that tourism is important to our local economy. We don't want to go back to those times. And folks who've lived here for a long time, I think, will tell you the stories of the boarded-up downtown. That said, I think there's a concern right now that we've gotten too much of a good thing going and that we really need to try and rebalance that. One of the big concerns that I have here citywide is that we really need to have, in my view, a diversified local economy so that we can raise wages here. Tourism, unfortunately, is somewhat very cyclical. When times are good, they're very good. And when times are bad, we often get hit hard on this. A couple of things that I think we can do about it and the city council can do about it. Number one is to try and make sure that Asheville is seen as more of a place to just visit or as to retire. I mean, we really need to be seen as a place that I think for folks to be able to bring their companies. We've got a lot of entrepreneurs down here. A lot of folks have moved down to Asheville really without a job. And we need to build on that. We have a great group of folks down here who are concerned about the environment. We've got the National Climatic Data Center down here. We've got the Collider downtown. And I'd love for us to be able to work with the folks at the TDA to encourage folks who visit down here to think about relocating their companies down here or setting up a satellite office down here that I think is important. The other thing I think we really need to be doing is trying to work together with the folks in the tourist industry to see what we might be able to do as it relates to kind of infrastructure projects in Asheville. And I think there's an opportunity for the city and the leaders of the TDA to think about ways of using some of those monies to invest in capital projects that benefit both the tourists as well as citizens here. And what I'm talking about is considering capital projects that would benefit the city, but at the same time would perhaps free up some city funds to be spent elsewhere.
What do you think could be done to improve the problem of affordability in Asheville?
Yeah, and this is, again, I mean, I think both of these questions are really interrelated, and they get to the heart of a lot of people's concerns here in Asheville. One of the things that I've been seeing, I do economic analysis for cities nationwide. That's what I do for a living. And what I'm noticing, and I work with cities that are well off. I work with cities that are in really bad financial shape. One of the things I'm noticing, particularly in places like in Asheville where folks want to move, is that we're seeing folks are calling it sort of the new urbanization. Folks are moving out from rural areas into cities. Because that's where they want to be. They want to be able to walk to places. They want to be able to be closer to their neighbors. And what that means is there's a lot of increased demand for housing stock. It makes an increase in traffic that many people are facing here in Asheville. But I think the reality is it's probably going to continue, and we have to figure out a way of doing that. Now, part of the problem is that also it really impacts affordability. We have to hit this, in my view, in a couple different ways, really in comprehensive ways. Number one, in terms of housing over here, I think there is going to be continued demand for housing, and we need to figure out creative ways of addressing that need. I think, I deal with a lot of housing issues down in South Asheville. One of the things that I hear a lot of from folks is they're not so they understand the growth is going to be occurring. They understand that people want to move here. They understand that things are going to be built. But their issue is that the infrastructure isn't there to support it. And when I say the infrastructure, I don't mean just roads. I mean sidewalks. If we're going to have this increased development and increased demand, again, to deal with the affordability issue, we need to have that infrastructure there as well. And I think you'll see less of a pushback from neighborhoods if we have that. The other aspect that again, I touched on a little bit earlier is my view that we really need to make sure we have a diverse local economy. If we're too heavily reliant on real estate and tourism for that local economy, particularly on the tourism aspect, those aren't the highest paying jobs, let's put it that way. The wages aren't the highest over there. And having a more diversified local economy so we can raise wages, so that we can focus on green jobs, on jobs that address climate change, I think will benefit not only folks here in Asheville by improving their wages, but make us more resilient when the next economic downturn comes.
What is your plan for the future of short-term rentals in Asheville?
I have gotten more questions about short-term rentals than literally any other issue from people. I have people who are supporters of mine who are very rabid pro short-term rentals who are and very opposed short-term rentals. So when we first started addressing this issue, you know, I don't have a short-term rental. I use Airbnb sometimes when I go to other cities. But I didn't really understand or really appreciate the importance of that issue as it related to Asheville. So what I did very early on, understanding it was going to be a big issue here, is try to actually do some research on it so I could sound halfway intelligent about the issue. So I had a UNC Chapel Hill student actually work with me this past summer. And what we did was we spent several months researching the issue. We read papers about it. We spoke with other cities who were dealing with short-term rental issues. We talked to people on all sides of it, a lot of the folks from the task force. And we did as much data analysis as we possibly could on it. The problem with it is there's not a whole lot of really, really good data on it. There's a lot of anecdotal stories about it. Folks who are saying that, look, it helps me stay in my home by being able to rent out part of it on the short-term basis. And I've talked to people who have been pushed out of their homes, renters, because a landlord has decided instead to use that rather than a long-term rental as a short-term rental. So given all of that, I will tell you here that on my website, I have about a four-page analysis on that. And I'm not gonna bore everybody with that. But if you go to my website, KaporForCouncil.org, and go up to the issues section, you will see, and you can read it in great detail. But to summarize kind of my position on where I am on short-term rentals, first and foremost, I'm opposed to whole house short-term rentals. That means where the host or the owner is not present on the premises. Case law in North Carolina will not allow us to just say the owner has to be at the house. There's a case actually on point that prevents that type of limitation in North Carolina. But I'm opposed to whole house and rentals, short-term rentals across the city, whether that's downtown, the River Arch District, or in residential neighborhoods. I'd like to see us increase our enforcement right now of short-term rentals so that only people who are permitted to do it are actually doing that. And other cities, including New Orleans, who I spoke with, the director of permitting over there and enforcement over there. They've got creative ideas such as requiring the short-term rental to post a placard in their window so you know which ones are actually permitted. They also require the license number to be put on the website. One of the things that I would also suggest is to require a photo of the permit to be added to the listing so you can actually see that, and it would help with enforcement. So number one is to increase enforcement. The second thing then is I'm willing to consider a pilot accessory dwelling unit, ADU, program, again, as a homestay, limited in both time and in number. So I'd limit it for 18 months to 125 units with a distance requirement, so they are not all concentrated in one particular street or one particular area, and to see after 18 months what the impact is on that. Because again, I don't think we have great data on that, and I'd much rather be able to approach this issue from a data perspective than kind of from a, if you will, an ideological perspective. And I think that's really important here in Asheville to think about. I'm not an ideologue on this issue. I really want to work with all sides to see if we can identify what the concerns are and see if we can address them.
What is your position on the removal of local Confederate monuments and plaques?
Another really hot button issue. But let me start with the fact of the matter is that in North Carolina, local governments are actually not allowed to decide which monuments they want to remove. We are not permitted to do that. It's one of the many things that I think we should be permitted to do. So first and foremost, folks need to understand that when we're addressing this question. That being said, there are three Confederate monuments or monuments associated with the Confederacy in downtown Asheville. There is a small obelisk outside the courthouse dedicated to the Confederate soldiers from Buncombe County. There is the Robert E. Lee Rock, which is in front of the Vance Memorial. And then, of course, there is the Vance Memorial. So my perspective on this is I would like to see that small obelisk in front of the courthouse moved to either a museum or a battlefield. I'd like to see the Robert E. Lee Rock just removed, period, or at least the plaques dedicating that to him. I remember walking by that one time and doing a double take to see that was actually there. And finally, with respect to the Vance Monument, I'd like to see that rededicated. I don't want to see that torn down, but I'd like to see that rededicated.
What do you think should be done with the Haywood Street property in downtown Asheville?
These are real difficult issues, and I want to be clear that on every one of these, I don't want these to be used as wedge issues. I think, thankfully, in this campaign so far, they haven't been. I think people have different perspectives on all of these, and I took a position, you know, several months ago. Again, it's on the website. These are all together on these because I think it's important for people to understand where people stand on them. But I want to be very clear and say this up front over here. If people have different perspectives on this question or others, reasonable people can have different perspectives on this, and I certainly understand that. So on the Haywood Street property itself, understanding the history of that piece of property gave me kind of a better perspective in terms of why people feel the way they may feel about it. Again, if you go back in time, that piece of property was slated to be an incredibly ugly parking garage many, many years ago, and residents really pushed hard back against that, and I can understand why. You know, fast forward to today, we had a task force that was recently put together to give their opinions on this. What they did was they were charged not with design recommendations, but with use recommendations. And I think there was a little bit of a confusion in there. I think a lot of people were expecting some type of drawing coming out of that. Their recommendation was that piece of property had both active and passive uses. They didn't define what those necessarily were going to be. They had some examples and some suggestions on those. But their ultimate decision was both active and passive uses. So that could mean having a building structure on there, or it could not be. It could be fully green space. My own perspective, again, I agree with the idea of having both active and passive use for that piece of that space. It's right next to the Civic Center. That piece of property, I think, could really activate that part of the city. My own perspective on that is I'd like to see that remain green space.
On the ballot, there will be a voter referendum asking Asheville residents if they support dividing the city into electoral districts. How do you think this will impact future elections?
I got involved with this issue way back, actually right after I declared. Back in February, I went to a breakfast put on by CBO, the Council of Independent Business Organizations, who, if truth be told, really were the ones who were members of those, were really the ones pushing for this. And I asked the question at that forum about what was really driving this. Was this a question of geographic representation, or was this a question of ideological representation? And what I got in return from several of the panelists there was about a 4-minute diatribe about how progressive Asheville City Council had gotten. I'm from South Asheville. I'm theoretically the reason why this is happening. We had another panelist tell me that I had no chance of winning because there is a cabal against South Asheville based on the evil North and West Asheville residents here. I've taken a position opposing districts. I wrote an op-ed in the Citizen Times that was published. And one of my main concerns about this is I think what's going to happen is it is going to pit certain parts of the city against each other. For resources. There is going to be an incentive right now. There is going to be an incentive if we have districts, in my view, for the respective council member to ask, well, what am I getting for my district, as opposed to being concerned about what is going to be happening, what's best for the citywide. Right now, as a candidate, I will tell you, I've got to travel all over the city. I have an incentive to go all over the city and talk to all different people, because a vote in West Asheville means as much to me as a vote in South Asheville. That's my incentive. If we have districts, I don't have that incentive anymore, right? If you look at it from a purely self-interested perspective, again, I care about the citywide. I don't want to suggest otherwise. But right now, I really like the fact that as a council member under the current at-large district, I would be accountable to every citizen in Asheville because every citizen has the ability to vote for me or against me. If we change it, then that incentive really changes, and I think it hurts the city. And ultimately, too, I think this should be a decision made by city residents, not by Raleigh.
All right, VJ, appreciate you coming in. WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. I'm Trevin Dunn with the Asheville FM NewsHour. Thanks again, VJ.
Thanks, Trevin. Take care.